We're coming up on Talkback. We've got a couple of notes from folks who have sent us some emails. We got a report from the John Glenn Middle School in White Bear Lake or North St. Paul, I think it is. Same general area. And a few notes from our good friend Ed Dallas. So.
Sounds great. Phonology Talkbacks are made possible by the members of Northern Community Radio and a grant from the University of Minnesota Northeast Regional Sustainable Development Partnership.
Well, we've heard from, as I mentioned, our good friend Ed Dallas down in Deerwood. Ed called to say that there are an awful lot of young birds visiting his feeder, some that are not quite as adept at cracking the seeds, but all who are hungry and begging for food from their parents. We have, he said, lots of rose-breasted grosbeaks. I've got quite a flock of rose-breasted grosbeaks at my house as well. He said lots of orioles at his place. And I haven't seen very many orioles at my house, but I do hear them calling, so I know they're around. And he had lots of young woodchucks, probably sees them along the bike trail, because it's a pretty good biker. And so lots of things going on down there. And then from just a general perusal of our Season Watch page on Facebook, we had black tiger swallowtail butterflies. Eagles have fledged. Bunch berries are ripe. what was it somebody wrote? Sort of I don't think they used the word insipid, but not a very flavorful along the trail treat. And that pretty well sums up the bunch berry. It won't kill you, but you wouldn't sit down to a meal of bunch berry pie. Indian pipe has once again kind of begun to show up in the woods. And the Indian pipe, of course, is that odd-looking white plant. It has no chlorophyll. It is a true saprophyte or parasite. It lives off of energy stolen from other plants in the neighborhood. And I think that in the case of the Indian pipe, it might be wood that is decomposing underground that the Indian pipe grows upon. But I could be wrong about that. At any rate, you're going to see this 4, 5, 6 inch tall white plant with white leaves. And if you the flower is hooked over at the top like a shepherd's crook, and decumbent would be the word to use there. And that decumbent flower is tinged with pink if you actually get down and look up into the flower itself. You'll see that there's some pink in there. And then as those plants ripen, or as they mature and are pollinated and the seeds form, the plant will then straighten out, much the way the wild columbine does, and the seed cup will then stand straight up. So right now, it looks like the old clay pipe that the Dutchman would smoke, or the French voyageurs would smoke their tobacco in, stuck in the ground stem first, and it will eventually straighten out. And as it straightens out, it'll become kind of a coffee brown, real dark brown color for the Indian pipe. The other thing that I saw on Facebook, on the Season Watch page, was the baneberry. And I have been watching baneberry all summer. And yesterday I discovered a baneberry, a white baneberry. Now, this is actually the red baneberry. It just happens to have white berries. And sometimes people make the mistake of calling it doll's eye baneberry, which I did for a long time, until I learned that the epithet for the doll's eye baneberry is the actual species name is Pachypoda, which is elephant's foot. And the difference between the doll's eye baneberry and the white baneberry of the red baneberry is that the doll's eye baneberry has a very thick stem holding the berry up. And it's also red. The stem is red, but the berry is white. The red baneberry has a very thin stem, and the white baneberry, the white version of the red baneberry, this gets really confusing, is very thin and doesn't look at all like an elephant's foot. So if you come across a white, a bush in the woods with a cluster of white berries, it could be the Pachypoda, the elephant's foot baneberry, the doll's eye baneberry, or it could be a red baneberry with white berries. And either way, the term bane is from the Old English, and it means a curse. And you would not enjoy a meal of baneberries. In fact, even one baneberry would be more than you'd want to have in your mouth for very long. It won't kill you, but it'll make you ever so sorry that you put it in your mouth. We also heard this week from our friends down at the John Glenn Middle School in North St. Paul, and here is their report.
Good morning. This is Mrs. Chapman's class from John Glenn Middle School in North St. Paul / Maple area. The high temperature was 84 degrees. The low temperature was 63 degrees. The week was mostly sunny with rain on Thursday and Friday. We observed many animals this week, but the most interesting was the behavior of the bumblebee. We observed two bumblebees mating, which none of us had ever seen before, and made us think about their life cycle. We researched and found that bumblebees generally nest in the ground. The queen bee is the only one that survives in the winter. She emerges from her hibernation in the spring and starts a new colony by herself by gathering enough food to raise the first eggs, which will all be female worker bees. After that, the worker bees gather the food and the queen lays eggs. This queen will die at the end of the season. Males are usually produced towards the end of the organized nest. The male's only job is to mate, but only one in seven will actually mate. A new queen will emerge about a week after the males. When the new queen is ready to mate, she flies to where males have attracted her to. Most queens mate just once, but some mate as many times as three times. The new queen drinks lots of nectar to build up their body fat so that it can hibernate between 6 to 9 months. This is our last report until September. Enjoy the rest of your summer and stay curious.
Nice report. Thank you very much. And good information about bumblebees there. I hope that you all are noticing the bumblebees, and there are a lot of them. I was walking the other day, and the sweet clover, the white sweet clover, was just incredibly aromatic, and the bumblebees were just all over it in numbers of species. We saw a great number of species of bumblebees on the white clover, white sweet clover. That's our talkback segment for this week. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations you'd like to share, please send them along. We'd love to hear from you.